Well, hello everyone and welcome. You're tuned into the Love Builder Summit, where you will discover the secrets to deepening your relationship and experience greater passion, intimacy, and connection. I'm your host, Devin Dixon, and I'm here with special guest, Dr. Erica Goodstone. Dr. Erica is a spiritual relationship healer, a marriage therapist, a sex therapist, a personal life coach, among other things. She's taught thousands of men and women how to heal through love and how to create loving relationships that last. So Dr. Erica, I am so excited to have you joining us. How are you?
I am doing great, and I'm excited to be here too.
Fantastic. Well, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your journey in becoming a spiritual relationship healing expert?
I'm not sure which started, but I was in a doctoral program in human sexuality, marriage, and family living, so I certainly learned a lot about relationships in that program. But I was at a time where there were a lot of consciousness-raising courses, so I took all kinds of weekend workshops, EST, DMA, All About Men, All About Women, actualizations, and my favorite was the Living Love workshops at a special place in Kentucky called the Cornucopia Institute, led by Ken Keyes Jr., who was a paraplegic, who taught us all about unconditional love. And then I was also involved with a spiritual perspective, and I took many intensives, particularly with Guru Mai, who was the disciple of Swami Muktananda. And I also studied The Way International, which was dealing with the Bible, Builders of the Adytum, which had to do with the Kabbalah, Rosicrucians, Rebirthing, Primal Scream. I was in an era where a lot was being offered, and I took a lot of these things. And then I got into a field because I had been teaching health and physical education at the college, and my body was always hurting, so I was always studying different ways to improve my body. I received massage and polarity and craniosacral and Alexander technique, and I trained in many of these. And at this point, I do have a massage license, but I do a combination of mind-body therapy involving craniosacral work, polarity, and Rubenfeld synergy. So I have combined so much of the mind-body therapy understanding, the relationship understanding, and love with the spiritual perspective.
Wow, so that sounds like you've had quite a journey. Can you tell us, what does it mean to heal a relationship from a spiritual perspective?
Well, it begins with the perspective and the understanding that we are spiritual beings inhabiting a physical body. We're not just physical bodies. Mm-hmm. And one little example of that was a lecture I heard by Wayne Dyer, who was so high in the spiritual awareness arena. And he talks about a woman that he interviewed who was living in Rwanda during the time when the Hutus were murdering the Tutsis, and she was a Tutsi. She was sitting in a bathroom on a toilet on top of two other women or three other women for, I don't remember how long, a few weeks. They were hidden in this space. And then finally, the war or the confusion and the hostility was supposed to be at a truce, so she was allowed to go out, and she was immediately facing a Hutu who had a rifle pointed at her.
Wow.
But she had been meditating in that bathroom for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, however long they were in there, doing deep spiritual meditation. So she stood there, looked at him. She was standing in that spiritual, powerful energy, and he dropped his rifle, and she was able to walk the distance she had to walk to get to safety. So that's an example that we are spiritual beings, and when we understand that and we look at life is a precious gift, then we understand that our love is a precious gift for this other person, and this other person spending time with us, being with us, and just being themselves is a gift to us. That's a huge way to look at relationships.
Absolutely. Wow, that is such a powerful example. And that's a great segue into intimate relationships. I mean, so what are some of the causes of disconnection in relationships? I mean, how does one go from being in love and having a loving, intimate relationship to having sort of a lackluster, mediocre, passionless relationship?
That is really a great question because it happens to so many people. And there's a four-letter word that describes what causes the problems. The word is life. L-I-F-E. Life gets in the way. There's all kinds of things that happen. We meet someone and they have a wonderful job and we think, wow, we're going to have a good life together. They lose their job. Then they're depressed, or somebody gets sick, or they have a wonderful career and we're excited. I'm going to be with this person who's in the media, or someone who's a sports athlete, the top. What happens? They're always traveling and they're not there with us. So we're feeling lonely and sad and depressed. I mean, those are just a few examples. So one of the major problems is just life and whatever is happening in your life. It's not the same as that period when you just met and you started dating and connecting. Another thing is that we forget our why, the reason that we originally connected with this person. We forget why we chose this particular person as opposed to someone else. Because at first we felt that person was really special and unique. But then as we're with that person, we start to understand other sides of their personality and we forget what we really loved, and then we don't appreciate them as much. So another thing is ignoring or not understanding our own personal needs, what we really need that's going to make us feel good, and we don't understand what our partner really needs. So we're missing the mark, both of us, with each other, and if we don't communicate about it and we don't really share, it can mushroom. We can get more and more distant from each other, and then someone at work or wherever, someone else can suddenly seem much more appealing because emotionally they're paying attention to us, they're soothing us, or flirting. So those are some of the things. And another thing is it's real important to understand your past and your upbringing and what led you to where you are right now, as well as your dreams for the future.
That's really good. So we kind of have to, as you said, get back in touch with our why and our needs and our partner's needs and really come to that place where we can begin to heal the relationship.
Yes, so I have one more comment to make about that, that before I took a particular program, EST, I had this, EST is like the forerunner to the forum, which is popular now, but I had this idea that I had to do it alone. I didn't want to take a course to help me to do things better. And I was thinking about that. And to me, at this point, the booby prize goes to someone who wants to do it all alone, do it all wrong, and actually lose love. Because there's nothing wrong with getting something that will help you. A therapist, a coach, a course, even a book, something that will help you to understand yourself and the other person better so you can create a happier relationship.
That is really good because it can be really challenging to kind of figure out the problems from inside the problem.
Right.
So you have a relationship healing toolkit. We were talking about just some of the ways that we could begin to get in touch with our partner's needs and our needs and heal our relationship. Can you tell us more about, there are 9 tools, aren't there, in this toolkit?
Yes. I created a toolkit with a few catchy words to help you understand what you need to have in your, just like an electrician or anyone who comes, a construction worker who comes to your home to fix something or do something, they have a toolbox. And they take out their tools to fix the different problems. Well, you need your own toolbox to help you really handle the issues that come up in relationships. So the first one I call a choice calculator. Just like you have a calculator that you use to quickly process numbers, you have a calendar that you use to know the exact date, you have a clock to help you to understand the time. But do you have a system for choosing the people that you are willing to accept into your life? Most of us don't. We just accept people and try to like them. We find someone attractive and we think this should be a relationship. It's really not that simple. You need to have a consistent way to evaluate who these people are in terms of who you listen to, who you take advice from, and who you're willing to get close to. You also need to know, are they aligned with your life goals? It might be someone you can have fun with or an intimate sexual relationship with right now, but they might not fit into your life goals for the future, and it's really important to understand the difference. Also, do you pursue the types of people who fit in with your dreams and your life purpose? And if you're with someone who is in alignment with your life purpose, do you often show them that you appreciate them, show your love, and acknowledge them? All of that goes into your choice calculator. So that's the first one. There are 9. I'm not going to go into all 9. I will be offering a free gift here with the 9 items in your toolbox. The second one, which is real, real important, is having a truth detector. We have a truth detector, but we don't always recognize it or pay attention to it. And the question is, are you in contact with your inner guide, your inner knowing, your intuition? And can you use that to help you to decipher the truth when you are communicating with others? Especially with an intimate partner or a potential intimate partner. So where this is coming from is the scientific understanding that has been really growing about our gut. Our gut, the abdominal area that has all the internal organs, is considered our second brain. It's called the enteric nervous system. We have 500 or more million neurons just in this area. It's 1/200th of the number of neurons in our brain.
Interesting.
It's fascinating information. That's why I have to speak about this. We have 5 times as many as the 100 million neurons in the spinal cord. So we have 500 million neurons in this abdominal area. This area uses more than 30 neurotransmitters, such as acetylcholine, which is a stress hormone, dopamine, which is the energizing hormone that makes us feel attraction and novelty, and serotonin, which is the feel-good hormone. We have 90 to 95% of the body's serotonin. So if we pay attention to that abdominal area and get ourselves to feel comfortable, we may not need to take those medications, SSRIs, for antidepressants. They're called serotonin reuptake inhibitors. We may not need those if we are able to really tune in to the messages coming from our own body. And this same area of the body contains 50% of the body's dopamine. So all of that combined, all just the neurotransmitters and the hormones and the nerves coming from this part of our body, we have to pay attention. So our mind might say, our brain might tell us, this is a perfect person for me. I remember that once. I had on a piece of paper, this person would be perfect for me. But when I was with him, I had this sense. The sense I had was he wasn't coming from complete truth. I couldn't explain it. I just felt that. And when I saw my husband, who was difficult and could have been a problem, I got that sense, a really clear sense, that he's completely truthful.
That wow,
underneath
that is
there is this truth. And then he had layers of stuff, you know, covering that up. But the other person appeared so truthful and so good, but underneath there was something not truthful. There was a deep core issue that I was aware of. So that's why when you really pay attention, and it's not just your gut, your entire body has memories stored in it. When you have a situation happen, when you're young and somebody yells at you and they pick up their hand and they go to hit you, you might tighten in the abdominal area. So you're suppressing lots of those neurotransmitters. They're not easily getting through. But you can also be inhibiting your circulation and your breathing, and you can affect other parts of your body. So one of the...
So interesting. So what you were describing when you met this person that you said was not coming from a place of truth, and when you met your husband, both of these instances you were actually having, I guess, what we would call a gut feeling or gut reaction, right?
Yes. And
wow.
I did not understand it at that time. But it's real important to notice that gut feeling. And then if you're not understanding why, that's a good time to go for counseling or body therapy, a type of body therapy, because all the messages are stored in the body. So another piece in all of this is, yes, your gut can guide you and you can feel wonderful with someone. That could be because you're having a sexual attraction and your hormones are flowing at the moment. So you also cannot ignore your brain. Your cerebral cortex tells you a lot. It's a lot of the facts about what's going on. So what you really need to do is make friends between your brain and your gut.
Wow. So you really need both, right? You can't, unfortunately, just go with one or the other. They kind of have to work as a team.
Right. That's the bottom line. Just like a relationship is a teamwork, and we forget that.
Mm.
We think it's just, I'm there for myself. What can I get? It's really a teamwork.
That's so true. So true. So as you mentioned, we'll make sure that we have the rest of the tools in this toolkit available through your special gift. So let's just go on to, you have 9 secrets or critical steps for transforming your approach to love. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, absolutely. I have a Healing Through Love 8 audio seminar series that goes into each of these. But there are 9 areas that really are necessary for us to have a full understanding of how we fit into this relationship world. The first thing is to understand your relationship with yourself. If I don't understand what I want and need, what makes me happy, what brings me passion, what irritates me, well, if I don't understand all of that, I'm going to have trouble in a relationship because I may be interested in this person and focused on them, but I'm building up resentment and not understanding it. You really have to understand yourself. But that's just one piece. The second part is understanding others because everybody thinks differently. They don't think the same way we do. Like there is a book about the 5 languages of love. One person shows love through affection and touch. Another person shows it by doing things for you. Another person does it by inviting you to exciting events. So it's really understanding how the other person functions and what they want and desire and need and what you want and desire and need, and are those things in alignment? And can you help this other person to understand how you think and also make sure to understand how they think? So those are just 2 parts, understanding yourself and the other. Then it's real important to understand your relationship to your own past. Have you really evaluated what your family was like when you were growing up, how you've received love, how you give love, how the messages that you've learned about love and about relationships, about men, about women, about money, whatever you've understood from your past beliefs, they come into the relationship. But the other person also has a past and all kinds of beliefs and ways that they approach love. So you need to understand your past and the other person's past. Then the next step or critical ingredient is understanding what your dream is for your future, what your goals and your desires are, and the type of lifestyle that you will be happiest in. And it's the same for the other person. Like if your partner is wealthy, but you don't really care about money, you care more about doing some good things for your community, and this person is always out making money and taking advantage of people, this may not be a good match. So it's real important to understand what your goals are for the rest of your life and what your dreams are. Next comes understanding love, because you can have all the rest and you just have no understanding of what helps somebody to love, what suppresses love and blocks love. For example, if someone grew up where they don't like a lot of touch and you want affection, so you figure if I touch them more, they're going to be more affectionate. They're going to probably resist and back away. But if you give them that space and then you approach them very gently from a distance and allow them to come to you or touch them just a little bit, maybe they will gradually get used to it and feel more comfortable. So you really have to understand how to approach someone gently with patience and consistency. And then another aspect is touch, the way that you touch, like not going right through the energy field when you touch someone, but touching respectfully, touching with affection and with wanting to really feel and connect to this person, not just wanting to touch to get something from it. Because the other person can feel that. And if you're touching nervously, they can feel that. If you're touching lovingly, there are experiments that have been done with touch. And it really reveals that we do pick up the differences in the touch. If there's a coercion or a manipulation as opposed to real playfulness or loving tenderness.
Wow.
Yeah, so touch is a huge piece in relationships, especially intimate relationships, and we never talk about it. So the next piece that's rarely talked about is understanding the healing process. How do you heal? Everybody heals differently. So say your partner has cheated on you. You may be a person who, once you understand what has happened and you get the facts, maybe you can let it go. Maybe that's your style of healing. When you go to a doctor, as long as you understand what has to be done, you do it and get it done. Someone else may have a different approach to healing. They may take a long time to process it emotionally, to discuss it with lots of people, to read books. I mean, all of us are different. So we have to know how to I heal and how does the other person heal? And you have to allow each other the room for your own healing, not just from cheating, but from anything that's going on in the relationship. And there's just two more pieces, the sensuality and sexuality. That is something to understand, to know how to open up all of your senses so that when you approach each other, it's coming from a sensual, loving perspective, not a grasping, grabbing, closed-off perspective. And all of that sensuality adds to beautiful sexuality together. The other piece about sexuality is that each of us has our own sexuality love map, and it's unique for each of us. And when you're in a partnership, it's very important for both of you to love and accept each other as you are and to be able to allow each other to express yourself fully. And that is not always easy because one person's sexuality can be very different from yours and you could be very frustrated. Sure. So that's an area that definitely reach out for counseling from a qualified sex therapist if you're running into an issue together. And the final piece is understanding spirituality. Understanding that we're all spiritual beings on this life path toward becoming and learning about unconditional love. It doesn't always look like that, but the people that perpetrate horrible, mean things, you can be really assured that those people do not feel loved. Because if they feel loved, they would not be able to purposely hurt others.
Yes, that is so good. So much insight. So we've talked about creating closeness and safety and true intimacy with your partner, accepting them for who they are and allowing yourself to have your needs met and meeting their needs. So if I'm in a relationship and I'm wanting to create that closeness and that safety and that true intimacy, what are some questions that I can begin to ask to do that?
That's really a good question, because we tend to start by asking, why is this happening? Why is he doing that? Why is she saying this? You know, why don't they love me more? What's wrong with me, or what's wrong with them? And you really have to start asking your questions differently. It was like President Kennedy said so long ago, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country.
Yes.
So I say the same thing. Ask not what your relationship can do for you, or what the other person can do for you, but what you can do for the relationship and for the other person. And when I say doing for them, I don't necessarily mean paying their bills and always being loving in spite of them being abusive. I mean to start looking at things from another perspective. What can I give versus what can I get? What can I learn from what's happening rather than how can I teach this other person? It's so annoying when your partner is teaching you and, you know, like they're better than you. But maybe you can learn something like, how can I say it more softly? How can I reach this person in a way that he can listen and hear, or she can listen and hear? What can I share with this person rather than what can I receive from the person? And also know about myself. What brings me joy? What causes pain? Sometimes what causes pain is that you misunderstand things a lot. You're a little too sensitive, and maybe the other person didn't mean it that way. So if you can express that you get hurt by this, maybe you can both talk it over without judging that person, but coming from a kind of a neutral place, like figuring out what is working and what is not working. What do I want? What does my partner want? What do I believe it will take for us to be satisfied? What does my partner believe? All of those kinds of questions before asking how. How is like the next question. How can we reposition or reorganize our relationship so that we can have love and passion and romance again? What can we do differently? How can we improve things? How can we communicate better? I have a Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series that goes into lots of those pieces. And I also have Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me videos. So also a 30-day love challenge. I've been focusing on love for a long time, so I have a lot of the pieces here. But there is, as much as all of that could be helpful, there's nothing like getting the counseling in the private session for your particular situation and your particular relationship.
Absolutely, because everybody's situation is unique, right?
Yes.
So powerful. Thank you so much. We are nearing the end of our time today, unfortunately. Dr. Erica, I so enjoyed speaking with you. Thank you for all of the wisdom and the knowledge that you've shared around really increasing the connection and the intimacy in our partner, in our partnerships. And we mentioned earlier that there is a relationship healing toolkit you have that is a free gift for the listeners. We'll be sure to have that link available for you guys. Be sure to take advantage, because she went over some of the tools earlier, but there are many powerful, there are 9 powerful tools in this toolkit. So we definitely want to make sure that you guys get that. Dr. Erica, again, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your knowledge and your insight with us today.
Thank you for the opportunity. It was delightful speaking with you.
And thanks again for our listeners. I'm your host, Devin Dixon. Be sure to join us again on the next installment of Love Builder. Take care.